Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode in our brand new series of lessons on the book of Nehemiah. We've called it Uncomfortable. I don't know if that word makes me feel warm and fuzzy, but
makes you feel a little uncomfortable.
It makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable because when I think about Nehemiah and the fact that he had kind of this cushy, cozy, comfortable life, I really think, I mean, honestly, Hannah, that's us. Mm-hmm. You know, that represents the American Christian. Would you agree with that?
Definitely, 100%, because we have it off as far as material-wise. I mean, we have better off than really anyone else. You know, Americans are the richest people in the world. I mean, richer than any other country. So I would say that we can relate to Nehemiah a lot.
Very similar, because Nehemiah was learning. We found out last episode, he's learning about people that are in danger and that are in great affliction and that are in reproach. And, you know, he has first world problems. You know, he's a cupbearer. He's lives a great life with a great wardrobe and a great diet. And that's us Americans. And we need to have the heart of a Nehemiah to be able to think and feel our way into the lives of other people. So last episode, we learned that Nehemiah's brother had returned from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah had asked the question, how's he doing? How's it going in Jerusalem? And he got the bad news. And then we saw his response. He's weeping, he's mourning, he's fasting, he's praying. And what I want to look at today is I want to look at the prayer, the actual prayer that Nehemiah prays, because I think the prayer itself will surprise you. I think if we were to pray about a situation 800 miles away, 850 miles away, whatever it was, I think my prayer would go something like this. You know, Lord, bless those people. And Lord, meet their need and help them and give them safety. I think I'd pray that prayer. But Nehemiah's prayer is so different. Nehemiah's prayer has an air of personal responsibility and accountability to it. We'll talk about that. And then Nehemiah's prayer also lends itself toward not just, Lord, you do something, but Lord, we need to do something. And disingenuous is that prayer that asks God to do something without having a corresponding willingness to be used of God to do something about it too. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And what I love is Nehemiah didn't make any excuses. I mean, I'm guilty of it when we, you know, just pray generally about things and we, like you said, exclude ourselves from, you know, there's a problem, but I don't want to be a part of the solution. I pray that you find a solution, but I pray that I'm not a part of it. You know, and doesn't mean that God's necessarily going to call us to everything we pray about, but like you said, it's the heart of being willing. And Nehemiah, more than anyone, could have made a million excuses. Well, I'm a cupbearer. I have a really important job. I work for the king. He needs me, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he...
No, that's a good point, Hannah. I think too often we're guilty of well-wishing.
Right.
So you see a great example of that in James chapter 2, where the hypothetical situation where the man says, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. It's easy to well wish somebody. Well, I hope you do well. I hope things work out for you. And sometimes our prayers are a little more than well wishing, and they need to go much more deep than that. And Nehemiah's does. It's a great template. A template for us. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, the words of his brother about the situation, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days and fasted. We read these verses and prayed before the God of heaven and said. So here's the prayer. I love how the Bible provides this level of specificity because it says in verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, not terrible the way that you and I would use the word today, but awesome and
mighty.
Powerful and mighty, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, the promise-keeping God. Let thine ears now be attentive. So he's asking for God's attention and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. So that tells me a little bit about the fervency of his prayer. So Nehemiah is weeping, he's mourning, he's praying, he's fasting, but he's praying this prayer. It's not just a one and done. Okay, God, bless these people, if it be thy will, and all the caveats that we offer in our prayers. But he said, he's praying this passionate, fervent, consistent prayer day and night. And then he says, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and here's what he says that just staggers me, Hannah, because then he says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Now that is a mouthful. I and my father's house. So first of all, Nehemiah is taking responsibility for the fact they're in affliction and in reproach and the walls are broken down. He's including his family. He's including those in captivity. He's putting them all together with those that are over there in Jerusalem. There's a lot there, isn't there?
Right. Taking on responsibility and just the humble attitude of his prayer.
And I don't think it was a what we would call a voluntary humility or a put-on humility. I think Nehemiah was being sincere. I mean, I know he was. And in what way would you say, Hannah, he had sinned? In what way could he legitimately take some responsibility for the fact that the people were in this horrible situation?
Right. It was nothing he had personally done. I mean, he had, you know, purposefully wronged them, but it was his nation. It was his people.
But how about this? Okay, I'm going to go back to what you just said.
Right.
It was nothing he had personally done, but how about this? Maybe it was something he hadn't done.
Hmm.
Sometimes when needs kind of present themselves in our life, sometimes it's a condemnation. It's a rebuke for the fact that we've not dealt with it. Where were we? Why weren't more people in Jerusalem? Why had more pilgrims not gone? Why had aid not been sent? Why were we just finding, maybe Nehemiah was all of that was kind of caving in on him right now. The fact that now that we see that the situation is desperate, it's underscoring the fact that we've done nothing up until this point to be a help and a blessing to the ones that the pioneers that went. Because remember at the beginning of the book of Ezra, when the people had gone some years before this, the people back home were supposed to be supportive and helping and financing. And maybe some of those things had gone by the wayside. So let's continue the prayer. Verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So there now we have a little bit more indication as to what is causing this repentance in the heart of Nehemiah. We've not been following the word of God. We've not been obeying God. We've allowed our cushy, cozy, comfortable selves here in Persia just to kind of live out life and enjoy ourselves. And we've not really been seeking God with our lives or seeking the word of God. So I think he is speaking to the sin of omission, which would you not agree, Hannah, that in life, the sins that we more readily commit are the sins of omission, things that we should be doing that we're not doing. We just get comfortable.
And we just view it through the lens of, no, this is what I am doing. We don't view it through the lens of, this is what I'm not doing. Like, even as I began to think and explain about Nehemiah, well, he hadn't done anything personally, but he could be doing something.
And that's exactly what he's confessing. He says in verse 8, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you among the nations." So now he's saying, yeah, it is our fault because we transgressed. God said, and if you do that, I'm going to be scattered. So here we are. We're part of that scattering. God, you honored your word of warning when we stepped outside of the way. But then Nehemiah was quick to add this, again, quoting from the promise to Moses. "But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." So God said, I'm going to deal with you, but if you'll come back to me, I will also put you back where you belong, right back in Jerusalem, right back where the temple is or where the temple can be rebuilt, which it had been, and you can honor me again. So Nehemiah is conversant with the word of God. He knows the character of God, both in God's willingness to chastise and God's willingness to show mercy. So he has a good overall worldview, biblical worldview. And then verse 10, "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." You know the word I see throughout this prayer, Hannah? I see the word thy, the old English pronoun. You know, your. It's your hand. It's your power. It's your greatness. Your people. You know what Nehemiah understood? Nehemiah understood that this is all about God. You know, so the people of God are in affliction, yes, but they represent God. And we have to remember that as modern day believers, that the trials of our life and the situations that we face and the way by which we're viewed in front of other people, it all reflects back upon the God whom we claim to serve, whom we claim to know. And Nehemiah had a jealousy for the reputation of God. So here we are in the last verse of the chapter. And just for sake of time, let me read the verse and just make a quick comment. "O Lord," so this is the last part of his prayer. "I beseech thee, let now thine servant be attentive to the prayer. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants." So Nehemiah was not only praying, but he was leading others in prayer, "who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's speaking about the king. What do I see in that, Hannah? It's exactly what we talked about at the beginning of this episode. And that is Nehemiah has a bias for action. He's praying and saying, "Lord, we're sorry. And what you've done is just, but we're asking for mercy. And your name is at stake. And it's our fault, but we repent. And Lord, would you give mercy? Because I want to do something about it." So already Nehemiah was thinking, what can I do to be part of the solution? Even if it means something uncomfortable for me, Lord, what can I do to be part of the solution? And maybe that's where you're at, listener, today. Maybe God is leading you in ways that are uncomfortable. Maybe your family or your church or your workplace or your immediate family or your own life. Maybe you're suffering because of bad choices. What do? You go to your gracious God. You pray, you seek his mercy, you plead for his glory to shine in the situation, and then you be willing to do what he calls you to do. Have that bias for action. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow. I can't wait to tell you about how the plan that's already germinating in Nehemiah's head begins to come to fruition very, very soon. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.